Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Good morning. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Are you sure? How you doing, man?
Good. And Chris.
Hey, John. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. What a wonderful day. My
Beautiful.
Goodness. I want to give some shout-outs today to Pastor Barbara. I look forward to hearing from you. Every time I speak to you, you have always have an encouraging word. And Eddie, I'm glad that the power is back on. I know that you're ready to get back to insanity going and, you know, getting back to action there.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to get a new update and a new progress report. See how you're doing with that insanity.
That's right.
Oh my, we have so much to talk about. I do want to welcome our new VFN radio listeners, Jimmy, Alyssa, and Tiffany. Oh my goodness, every single day they're just more and more. Linda and Robert and Carlos and Shannon and Jack and Shane and Jose and Sandra and Emma. And oh my goodness,
man,
this is exciting.
It's awesome, man.
Oh my goodness. Well, we have a wonderful, wonderful program set up today, and we've got so much to talk about. But you know, Pat, you know, today is a very special day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very special day.
Election day.
Well, yeah, it is election day. Mm-hmm. It is election day, but today.
It's your
today,
birthday.
Chris, today. Today is the day that we celebrate that the Saints actually won it. Right, today's the day.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
You saw that, did you?
For those that can't see, for those that are interested today, yes, Pat is indeed wearing not the old crusted dusty Saints shirt. No. We left that one in the closet today.
That's all right. We got the new shiny version.
Oh, yeah. The new crisp. This must have been the Christmas version. I mean, this one doesn't have a crease or a wrinkle. This is the one when they win, okay?
That's so right.
Obviously,
right.
It's brand new because it doesn't come out often out the closet. But talk the Saints beat the Eagles, no less. What? I mean, what happened? I mean, was there a fast going on for that? Explain to me. Heard there.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was good. It was nice for a change.
It was nice. Chris, did you enjoy that game?
Oh, I sure did.
All right, well, listen, at least you guys get to celebrate, you know.
Yeah, for a moment.
Right. Until next week.
Oh, my goodness. But you're right, Pat. Today is election day. Did you know that yesterday was the 100-year anniversary of a president that was elected, November the 5th, 1912?
100 years.
100 years.
Who would that have been?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to be a...
Surprise.
Woodrow Wilson.
Get out. Come on.
Woodrow was elected president. November the 5th, 1912, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you vote for now,
because
we're still dealing with things today,
today.
Like United Nations, that due to that administration, thank you, Woodrow, but I'll tell you, in terms of Christian values and voting from God's perspective, my goodness, I mean, there's a choice out there. I mean, there is a choice. I mean,
definite
right
choice.
Now it's coming down to the wire. I mean, every poll that you see is just like, you know, neck and neck. I mean, and both candidates are given everything that they have. And so we will definitely want to talk about the election today and just exercising our right to vote. Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to just a recent report that just came on CBN, and it's talking about we're down to the wire. Listen up.
Election day is just hours away. President Obama and Mitt Romney are sprinting to the finale, making their final campaign stops today. Both candidates are making the toughest battleground states their top priority. Obama making stops in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Ohio, and Romney in Florida, Ohio, New Hampshire, and Virginia. Meanwhile, final poll numbers show the race in a dead heat. A Washington Post ABC News poll has Obama getting support of 49% of likely voters, with Romney receiving 48%. A Pew Research Center poll shows Obama with a 3-point lead, 48% to 45%. And a Rasmussen poll shows the race tied, with each candidate attracting support from 49% of voters nationwide. CBN's political team has reports from both camps today. Jennifer Wishon is in Chicago at Obama headquarters. David Brody is with the Romney team in Boston.
Mitt Romney's team believes their candidate is surging at the right time.
Walk with me. We'll walk together. Let's begin anew.
Romney's likability rating sits at an all-time high among voters, and the latest polls show him tied in Pennsylvania and Michigan, states originally thought as a lost cause. Over the weekend, crowds at Romney events have been unusually huge, 30,000 in Ohio, close to 20,000 in Colorado.
The polls are so tight in so many of the swing states, including right here in New Hampshire. What you have are dueling neighborhoods. Take a look. You've got the Romney-Ryan sign on this side of the street. You come right across here, and there's Obama-Biden signs, truly dueling neighbors.
Fortunately, the presidential duel has not split the friendship between these neighbors.
Okay. She's a very nice woman, yeah. I mean, I don't judge someone by their political affiliation. I judge them by the person.
You know? Meanwhile, in Manchester, New Hampshire, Romney called in some help from GOP bigwigs, including 2008 presidential nominee John McCain.
And one thing I promise you, Mitt Romney will...
You know, this is so encouraging and so exciting, just to hear what's coming down to the wire with all of these candidates. You know, we're not endorsing any particular candidate. What we're doing is just giving an opportunity to hear both sides, just what's going on, and, mm-hmm. and educating and informing what both parties have to say. So just listen up. We're going to hear what's going on with President Obama's. His campaign is good as well.
The campaign hopes for a Tuesday night victory celebration. Inside the grand ballroom hangs the sign, "Believe in America." It's Romney's belief Americans will ultimately choose him as their next president. David Brody, CBN News, in Boston, Massachusetts.
This is Jennifer Wishon in Chicago. Here at Obama for America headquarters, bleary-eyed Democrats strategize for the home stretch.
People are tired, but people are working hard.
Many who filled this 50,000-square-foot workspace for months have now been sent to battleground states. In the final hours, the campaign calls in as much star power as it can muster, including the president's most powerful surrogate.
So the great thing about Bill Clinton, President Clinton, is he's somebody who has faced a lot of these problems before, obviously has a unique perspective on both the president's record and what he wants to accomplish in his plans, but also the Governor Romney's record. He can really talk a lot about how this is a clear choice when it comes to economic issues.
The race is so close. In many states, it will come down to which team gets the most supporters to the polls. Team Obama has set up 5,000 super local field offices for Election Day.
And look, our theory on our ground game has always been, let's get our people as close to the voters as possible. We want volunteers in every neighborhood who know those neighbors, who know the people that they're talking to, and can really talk to them about the issues through a lens that might make sense in Madison, Wisconsin versus somewhere in North Carolina.
Today, the president spends his final hours before the polls open in three states he easily won 4 years ago, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Iowa. Then he and the first lady travel here to their home in the Windy City to watch the results come in.
This is just, I mean, it's coming down to the wire, guys. This is, you know, an exciting time for the nation, because mm-hmm. this is a time to elect the president. There's other, you know, candidates that are running for other offices as well. But this mm-hmm. is the presidency right now. It's obviously getting a lot of attention.
Right.
And, you know, we're not saying either way. We're saying we need to vote our values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to vote our values. And a lot, you know, in terms of our country, there's so much at stake. I mean,
yeah.
The Lord's given us such a beautiful, I mean, what a beautiful country we have. What
yeah.
what a blessed land.
Right.
I mean, I think for so many years we've taken it for granted. I think many of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have taken for granted the freedoms that we have, the things that we're able to do in this country and say in this country, because mm-hmm. we actually have a constitution. That I mean, what an amazing document,
mm-hmm.
you know, Absolutely. What an amazing document. And
that
and
many don't even know.
Exactly.
Have no clue.
And to be honest with you, you know, prior to just, you know, mean, a few years ago, I didn't know that much about the Constitution.
No, you're right.
You know,
you're right.
I mean, it's only because I've started seeing that the Constitution was being eroded. I said, wait a minute, I've got to get informed. I got to get educated myself. I really got to get in here and know what my rights are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm thankful for what I do know now.
Yeah, right.
But we all have to. We all have to. It's like vital. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where we're at right now, when you look at it, and you look at what happened with the Pilgrims and the providence of God. I mean, mm-hmm. they came to find a land where they can serve God. And
right,
out of
worship
that,
him. Right.
Mm-hmm. out of that came the Founding Fathers, the mm-hmm. Constitution, and the country that we enjoy here today.
Right.
But, I mean, we have to. If you don't stand for your country, you're not going to have your country. If you don't stand for the Constitution, you know, we could actually lose it. And I don't remember a time, really, when our Constitution has been so under attack. I mean, it's because it's been under attack that actually kind of woke me up to look at it more and study it more. I don't know if mm-hmm. you know, same as with you, but
yeah, absolutely.
Chris, but it's like, oh my goodness, you look at the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's protecting our rights of you know, our freedom of speech, being able to preach and share the gospel. I mean, this is what the First Amendment says,
mm-hmm.
that Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
That's right.
Prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in other countries, if you say anything,
right,
anything about the government,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it could cost you your life.
That's right.
And it has cost many people their life. Or the press, freedom of the speech or the press, which we wonder sometimes if the press is actually using that freedom, but we're mm-hmm. not going to go there in today's program. But
right.
Or the right for people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is pretty powerful. So you got, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, our rights to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth Amendment's protection against illegal seizures and searches.
Right.
I mean, how important is that?
That's huge.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, we have so much at stake here that we're talking about being a value voter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not candidate or party or, you know, it's about values, about God's values, about what it really matters at the end. You can do with a lot of things, but I'm telling you, we can't do without God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And it's going to be rough to be able to do it without the Constitution. Okay?
Exactly.
It's going to be rough. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in the end, God's kingdom always stands. I mean, how about standing with Israel? The right. apple of God's eye. I mean, God's words clearly tells us that, you know what? I'll bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying that we got to go back to 1967 border lines is not necessarily, you know, a blessing here.
Mm-mm. No,
you
not
know,
at all.
Not being with your ally when there are other countries like Iran saying that we want to blow you up and we are developing a nuclear weapon to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we deny the fact that you're that the Jews were actually, there was a Holocaust,
mm-hmm.
we say it was made up. I mean, this is not conducive, you know, to a blessing here.
Right.
And then you look at what's happening. You look at what's happening even with, we're talking about values with the right to life. You know, the question is, are we going to vote a personal preference?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't line up with God's value, or we're going to say, you know what? What does God say? What does His Word say? How would God want me to vote in view mm-hmm. of His Word, in view of His ways, in view? Why would God want me to vote? When you look at it, I mean, since Roe versus Wade,
mm-hmm.
that ruling that said that abortion, the shedding of innocent blood, the murder of babies right. was legal. Let me tell you, no matter what any kind of a court says. That says, you know,
mm-hmm.
they contradict the word. It's not legal to kill a baby. It's not legal to kill, you know, this is murder.
Right.
To murder, not kill, murder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not legal. There's been 50 million abortions since then.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this before, but if you added the population of the least populated states and kind of move your way up,
mm-hmm.
you will get to 25 states in this country. 20, that's half.
Wow.
Half
of our states.
Half of the country, half of the 50 states represent 50 million people. Mm. And you look at those destinies, and you look at that innocent blood. You know, come on, is God going to wink at that?
Mm-mm.
Is God going to overlook the blood that's still crying out?
Mm-mm.
You know, there is so much at stake. You know, four states, I don't know if you know about this, guys, but four states are going to be voting on marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And which is how they're going to define marriage. And it's really interesting about this, that in all four, this is according to ABC News, if all four states vote for traditional marriage, they'll extend an unbroken record where 32 states have already supported the traditional institution.
Mm.
I'm going to say that again. According to ABC News, they're saying that if all these four states that are up right now, they're having an election, obviously, mm-hmm. today,
right.
for traditional marriage. If they vote for it, they'll extend an unbroken record where voters in 32 states have supported the traditional institution. I mean, this is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but it affects, you know, the Supreme Court's looking at this as well. So it's pretty interesting. Everything that's kind of weighs in the balance. It's mm-hmm. just like, okay, let's see. Let's see what America decides. Let's see what the right. church decides. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like these elections, kind of puts everyone's cards on the table. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? It is what it is. And
that's right.
They have ways of showing all kinds of records.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All demographics is like, we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We have a choice. I want to encourage you listening today. Maybe you just tuned in. Someone just, you know, turned you on to the VFN radio and you thought, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to vote. I'm making it. Make every effort to vote today.
Yes,
make every
absolutely.
Effort. Not only vote, but take two other people with you. Take two other people with you. I voted today, first thing this morning. I was so happy to get in there. Saw one of my
Very
neighbors.
Good. So
I was walking in. That was so nice. And we had some time to talk. But you could see just the excitement. People mm-hmm. were just excited to be out. You know, the gentleman that was working there at the polling station, he was saying, man, we've had a busy, busy morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in New Jersey where, you know, people are still getting out there, still voting. And,
yeah.
you know, I didn't get my little sticker. They don't do that here. They
really?
Don't do that. No,
yeah,
I'm not Florida.
I got a
sticker. No. I in fact, I got in the car,
mm-hmm.
went back in. I said, I want my sticker. He says, we don't do that. I guess I didn't remember from the last time I voted, but
right.
maybe I thought they ran out. I said, what? I need to get me a sticker today. I voted. You know, I voted. It's so important. It's so important. We really need to know. We need to be informed. We need to, I mean, everyone has, they just did a report on how many television ads. I believe it's almost like 500,000.
Hmm.
500,000 ads have been running on TV mm-hmm. nonstop during this time. It's just the billions of dollars that have been spent
mm-hmm.
you know, alone. The campaigns alone have spent close to $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think with all the super PACs, close to $6 billion is being spent on this campaign to
wow.
get your vote.
$6 billion.
To get your vote, to get you to choose, to get you to decide.
Right.
You know, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Electoral College and how this all rolls out, and just we're going to get some more, you know, informed
mm-hmm.
ways.
Get educated.
Yeah, get educated about this mm-hmm. voting process. We'll be right back.
John, have you had a chance to check out Vine Fellowship Network at University?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness. VFNU. I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you've received Jesus in your life and you want to know more and you feel that God is just calling you to go deeper in Him, to just, you know, there's a call upon your life. You know, there's a reason that you're a part of this generation and you're asking yourself, how? If you're asking yourself, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, go and check out vfnu.org. You know, God's got a plan for your life and you play an integral part of this generation. You play an integral part and God has a plan to use you. And you can find out more of what God has in store for you. Find out more at vfnu.org. You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from, like, hitting the hammer and trying to build some. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on, one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone. And I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what does the level do? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because, I don't know, apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of his of the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV, VFN Daily Radio program? And I was like, there's an app for that? He's like, yeah, there's an app for that. He says, you can go right on iTunes right now, and you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son, a daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces a someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining me today is Pat and Chris, who were just talking in the beginning of the program before we went to break about Election Day. It is here. We've been having a countdown. It's been 13 days, 4 days. If you go to the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com, you can type in search election, or you can type in vote, and you will see all the different highlights and all the segments that we've done, doing our best just to educate, just to inform, and just to share the importance of voting and voting our values, voting God's perspective.
Right.
Now, we talked about what was at stake, but you know, the other thing we talked about is saying, before we begin to start talking about the Electoral College and get educated here in this process, I want to talk about as well, which has been very silent. You haven't been hearing it much this cycle. Is that whoever's elected president today will have the opportunity to more than likely appoint some Supreme Court justices. I mean, you have four Supreme Court justices, I believe, that are in their 70s right now.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a chance that the next president, whoever's elected, can actually appoint a Supreme Court justice. And this is really the president's kind of most lasting what's the word? Lasting legacy on his presidency.
Right.
Because once you appoint a Supreme Court justice, they're appointed for life. They cannot be fired. And I think it's a great process because it can't be, you know, manipulated or you know, turned anyway.
Right.
But they can vote free, you know, judge freely, rather.
Right.
And I think, you know, this is something just to be another value there that's important, because, you know, the Supreme Court justice could overturn Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, good.
You know, which was the ruling about abortion.
That's right.
Making it legal. And so it's all at stake. And my goodness, we have so much to share and so much to talk about. But it's important. It's important for you to vote. It's important for you to vote today, no matter what. Don't allow weather. Don't allow long lines. Don't allow anyone in the media to tell you this one's up or that one's up or this one's down or that one's down or your vote's not going to count. Let me tell you something. You want to know at the end of the day that you went to the polling station, that you've exercised your right, and that you pulled the lever yourself.
That's right.
You want to know that. Not only should you go out and vote today, but call up your neighbor. Bring at least two people with you. Get engaged, share, and bring people to the polls. Listen, it'll be another 4 years until you have to live 4 years with the decision you make or didn't make.
That's right.
You know, and someone once told me, hey, listen, if you don't vote, you can't complain. You can't say nothing now.
That's right. Don't want to hear it.
You can exercise your right there. But we want to talk about the process here in the Electoral College and how our votes and how the process,
unravels.
Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right. Go ahead. Let's listen up and listen to this segment real quick.
The Electoral College, in its essence, is basically a compromise. A compromise between having Congress select all of our presidents, which Congress once did, and letting all of us, by popular vote, select our presidents. The Electoral College is what actually elects a president. We all think we do. We don't really. What we do is we vote for these people. These people are the ones who actually have the votes that actuate everything, that make it happen. Each state selects its electors from a bunch of the good citizenry of that state, and they are proportional by the size of the congressional delegation from the states. For example, all of your Congress members and your senators combined produce the number of electoral votes you get in your state. So, California gets a whole lot, Texas gets a lot, Montana, North Dakota, not so much. The behavior of the electors is one of the great acts of trust in this country, because only in a few places are they actually bound to what the people in the population say. They could change their mind, and there have been rare occasions in which electors have gone to the actual process of electing the president and said, I disagree with my state, and they've cast another vote. One of the big reasons you always hear for the Electoral College is that it evens out power a little bit. If you just had a popular vote, then the most populous states would really consolidate all the power. And if you lived in a place like North Dakota, you would have very, very little influence or ability to create any influence unless you banded together with a bunch of other states. And beyond that, all the campaigning would only happen in giant population centers. The biggest con you hear is that it can override the popular vote. People can triangulate the electoral votes and actually win the presidency when most of the people in the country do not want that person in the Oval Office. If neither candidate can get at least 270 electoral votes, which is what you need to win, then everything goes wild in this country, principally because the decision then falls to the U.S. House of Representatives. They would have to hash it out there looking at the top presidential candidates, and they would decide who should be the president. And, by the way, each state just gets one vote then, so Idaho would have just as much punch as Florida or New York. Here's the great part, though. The Senate selects the vice president after that happens. That means that with the House now controlled by Republicans and the Senate now controlled by Democrats, you very well could wind up, if you had a tie, with Mitt Romney as president and Joe Biden as vice president.
Wow, so there you have the Electoral College process. Isn't it amazing? Wow. Learning something new every day.
I just learned a lot right there.
You're learning something new every day. And you know what? It's probably not 100% proof. But let me tell you, it's probably the fairest system that's probably out there in the world right now.
Right.
And so you have about 538, electors, 538. Mm-hmm. What happens, votes. You have 435 that come from the Congress, and you have 100 senators, and then you have three electors from the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. And so the first one to get to 270 Electoral College votes is the one who wins, or
Right.
And so this is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And what happens is that all the states, they vote, and whoever, it's a winner take all. So whoever wins the most votes, those Electoral College votes goes to the one who won the most votes mm-hmm. in that state. So right. it's, you know, it's very, it's fair. And it, you know, what it really does too is that it protects smaller states from being recognized, because if it just went by a popular vote, mm-hmm. then 25 of those states that we listed that had small half the country, mm-hmm. really,
right.
you know, like North Dakota, they wouldn't even pay attention to them. And that's the beautiful thing that we have about our country is that, you know what? Every vote should matter. Every vote mm-hmm. should count. It should be as fair as possible. And I think we have a pretty fair system, but we definitely want to pray. I mean, we want to pray that these elections go well, that the country comes out of this united. You know, I mean, typically what happens is that, you know, we vote for a president. Everyone is either on one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But once we vote for the president, mm-hmm. history has, you know, we for the most part, we make a transition and we get behind whoever is the president mm-hmm. and we root for him to do the best.
All right.
Right now, I mean, we haven't had a you know, female president, but. Right. Whoever's elected president, we want them to do well because we want the country to do well. We mm-hmm. want to benefit, and so we definitely want to pray over these elections. I mean, there's been so many people involved and so many opinions and so many things that people are holding on to really, really right. tightly. You know, there's so many values. It's just so much right now, and mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at huge crowds on both sides. I mean, people seem to be really get engaged. And so we really want to pray for a smooth transition. We want to pray for things to come out in the end pretty smoothly and place of unity. And right. I think that's a really big thing. What we want to do is we want, you know, while we're celebrating today, Election Day, and exercising our right and mm-hmm. and defending our Constitution and holding dear everything that's American and as believers, mm-hmm. exercising, you know, how God would want us to vote, our values.
Mm-hmm.
We want to play a segment that was recently aired on VFN Radio, and it's about the Declaration of Independence, Journey to Philadelphia. And we want to do is we want to journey back. We want to recognize and remember. We want to remember what happened with our country. We want to remember the very beginning process. I mean, so many times I think that we fail to look back and we can't appreciate where we are today until mm-hmm. we actually, you know, look back. Well, we're trying to cue that segment for us now as we're trying to get there together. We're actually going to come back to it. What I want to do is talk a little bit. You know, yesterday we talked about the storm, the nor'easter that's heading to the northeast, and we didn't have a exact definition there for you, but
right.
we're gonna get educated together on a nor'easter today, because let me tell you something. People are still, there's about, I believe, close to 500,000 people still in New Jersey without power. I don't know the exact number in New York right now, and you know it's getting cold. I mean, last night was the coldest night so far of the year. Down in the 30s, and now you're looking at this nor'easter coming in that's supposed to come Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so a nor'easter, basically, according to HowStuffWorks.com, I kind of like that website.
Yeah.
Helps me out with a lot of stuff there.
Uh-huh.
But HowStuffWorks.com says that a nor'easter can occur in the eastern United States anytime between October and April when moisture and cold air are plentiful. Now, they're known for dumping heavy amounts of rain and snow, producing hurricane-force winds
oh, wow.
and creating high surfs that cause severe beach erosion and coastal flooding.
Flooding, right. Wow. That sounds as bad as a hurricane.
But that's already happening. What they're concerned is that because the beaches has already been weakened,
mm-hmm.
it's already been weakened.
Wow.
And all the water that has already been you know,
mm-hmm.
on the ground and in,
yeah,
in
exactly.
the rivers. And,
it's already weak.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I went to visit my uncle, mm-hmm. and he lives right next to a river here in New Jersey, and yeah, he lives right across the street from it, mm-hmm. and the water came all the way over, almost down two blocks.
Oh, wow.
So he had about 4 feet of water in his basement, and it was one step away from coming into the home, into the house. I mean, it's just like a river.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's and the weather has gotten, you know, increasingly cold. So we definitely want to pray for these guys up north.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they continue to say that it's basically There's two main components to a nor'easter. There's a Gulf Stream with low pressure system that moves counterclockwise, and these systems generate off the coast of Florida.
Oh wow.
They're above the Gulf Stream the air above the Gulf Stream warms and spawns a low pressure system. So the, you know, this low system circulates off the southeastern U.S. coast, gathering warm air and moisture, and so it just kind of flows up the northeastern board there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just really want to, like I said, lift them up. In fact, let's pray now, Lord. We just pray for this nor'easter, Lord. We just pray that it just goes away. I mean, just make it just go away and not affect the folks up here in the northeast, Lord. Those that are cold and without shelter, they're trying to find shelter for everyone, Lord. And I just pray that you will just move that storm away, and that no one will be affected in such an awful way as they're forecasting. And you have the last word in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Keep everyone warm, because it's getting cold. It's getting extremely cold. I think what we're going to do is begin this journey into Philadelphia, and we'll probably pick it up again in the extra hour. But it's real important, Pat, Chris. Mm-hmm. We want to go back. I mean, I live close to Philadelphia, and I went down and went to Independence Hall, and it was pretty amazing to see, mm-hmm. you know, and to experience what the founding of the country. I mean, it was just pretty awesome. So you're going to hear this journey, and we'll talk more about it as we get through. Go ahead and listen up. You know, Pat, we like to talk about the original intent. Mm-hmm. And so today, you know, I want to share a little bit about the original intent of the nation, of America. I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Oh, my goodness. Pat, this is an amazing document. What I mean, I don't even remember learning this in school.
Oh,
I mean, what grade? You know, like my son's like, you know, sixth. I think they do this in fifth or sixth grade, you know, and come on. Let's. Mm-hmm. If you're a fifth and sixth grade boy, what in the world are you thinking? You're not thinking about Declaration of Independence.
I know.
You know, you're thinking baseball, football, video
fireworks,
games. Yeah. You know, you're not thinking any of that. You know, you can't appreciate the importance. I don't know. You know, at least I didn't. You know, I'm speaking for myself.
I remember learning it as a kid, tell you the truth.
Isn't that something? And then what you do learn is just from really, you know, a worldly perspective, and, you mm-hmm. know, they don't put what truly happened in terms of God and you know, what the Lord was doing at the time. So many of us are having to kind of relearn this and re-experience this, and actually re-experience this with a renewed mind, you know, mm-hmm. because maybe we had a mindset before we came to Christ, but now with the Lord, it's amazing that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, how he begins to illuminate all areas of your life. I mean, you just don't look at anything the same. I mean, okay. I guess that's why the word says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away and all things become new. It's like, I'm a new person here. You know what I'm saying? I think differently. I act differently, you know, and this is good. So, you know, you think about the Declaration of Independence, you know, Pat, I actually recently went to Philadelphia. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Philly is a pretty awesome place now. Oh, it's a pretty cool city. I was pleasantly surprised. But I wanted to go down because, you know, obviously I live in Jersey.
Right,
but I wanted
to
go down to Philly, to Philadelphia, if you will, so that I could really appreciate and see, I mean, history. History. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, mm-hmm. you know, in Independence Hall. I wanted to see, you know, where Thomas Jefferson wrote this amazing document. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wanted to see. I mean, there's so much history that mm-hmm. I mean, it's beautiful. I recommend anyone to go to that city. In fact, they were so helpful. They had these awesome people. I don't know who they work for, but if you're lost in downtown Philly, they have these cool uniforms, I guess, and they'll come up to you and they'll service you and tell you where to go. And I was looking for a Philly cheesesteak after I took in the sides. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was good. It was real good. And the parking is cheaper in Philly. Philly, if anyone's familiar with parking in New York City, let me tell you, it is really good in Philly. But I'm here. I'm in Philadelphia, and we're standing outside of Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just like sometimes you just got to pinch yourself, really, just to take in, like, how privileged are we? I mean, Pat, this is one of the blessed the blessed. Mm-hmm. Think about it, nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how many people. I mean, you really can judge a nation by how, you know, how good, I guess, or the quality of life there, or the freedoms that they enjoy, by how many people are coming by the droves and want to come to America, to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when's the last time you've seen people lining up outside of Venezuela? You know what I'm saying?
Not that I know.
They don't want nothing to do with Hugo Chavez. I was like, no. Yeah, when's the last time you've seen them? They're banging the gates. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody want to go over there.
Mm-mm.
You know, and there's a lot of countries like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in jeopardy, America. We are in jeopardy of losing so many of our God-given rights.
That's right.
And what one generation fought for, Pat, and bled for, and literally were willing to give their lives for, one generation has no idea.
Right.
No idea. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant. We got to be aware. We got to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. And we have to pause and reflect on what happened, you know? Walk in these shoes. Understand what happened. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson is credited with mainly writing most of the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't know this, but, Pat, two of our most precious documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution,
right.
I believe that the Declaration of Independence was signed, obviously, you know, actually it's July 2nd. We celebrated July 4th, 1776.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution was in 1787.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both were signed there in Independence Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Thomas Jefferson, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson, they put him up in someone's house. Okay. Uh-huh. I believe it was a bricklayer who owned this house.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson needed some peace and quiet. You know how it is. We got to go away from the ministry. You got to hear from God. Yeah. He's like, get away from the TV and the cell phone and anyone calling me. I got to be alone here, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So here's Thomas Jefferson away, Pat. He writes later that the flies and the mosquitoes were eating him alive. He was trying to, you know, write this document.
Mm-hmm.
And he's etching out a document that's going to be, you know, used to birth a nation.
Wow.
I mean, I literally stood outside of this house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about it is actually this house, and we're gonna put this on the torch. We're gonna put this in the VFN torch. I want to encourage you, by the way, look at the torch. You can access it at VFNTV.com and go to VFN torch. Pat, I am so encouraged. I see so many encouraging segments that are on there. And oftentimes, I might hear the same one twice. I'm thinking, that was so good. I want to hear that again.
All right.
You can have access to this anytime you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
All the radio segments. You can email them. And many of our listeners, I'm finding, Pat, are actually posting them on Facebook and sharing them with their friends. And so if you feel that you want to do that and you're listening, and this, by all means, please continue to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make this available on the torch. We're going to make sure that it's on there today, okay?
Right.
But I also want to include the picture of this house. I mean, the cool thing, they preserve this house, like, in downtown Philly. So you have, like, stores and shops and all this type of stuff. But right there on the corner, think of, like, not even half a house. It looks like a quarter of a house. I mean, it's like, it's like, they just preserved this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a house, obviously. And then they made it like, I guess, I don't know if it's like a little museum, but they do have a fancy little plaque on the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're standing there and you think, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence right here.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder how many people just walk by it and don't even like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is cool. So what I want to do is actually read some of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh,
Pat.
Cool.
Pat, this is an amazing document.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, what they're saying in these documents, the reason why they wanted to, you know, leave Great Britain is amazing. And how it was so worded. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the king here, man.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was not a pretty nice dude, okay?
Right,
this
right.
is the king there. It took men and women with guts,
mm-hmm.
with conviction to say, you know what? That's it.
Right.
No more. And so the first line here says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We're like, ooh, Thomas, this is pretty good. All right, you're getting it down here.
That's good.
So he says, and this is like the main, you know, kind of, I won't say main section, but this is the most recognizable, I guess, line or portion of the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson writes, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Pat, those words, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Mm. Hello.
Amen.
Acknowledgement of God with certain unalienable rights, rights that cannot be denied. These rights come from God. They don't come from government.
Mm-hmm.
They come from God.
That's right.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. And so he goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men to ensure them,
mm-hmm.
to secure these rights. Okay? We got to talk about this, because really, how many people, myself included, you know, mm-hmm. how many have we taken the time to read any of our documents?
All right.
You know?
Right.
And so we're just kind of going through some of this. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The powers come from the people, not the other way around. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, take this out, Pat, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. They're saying, listen, when this is not happening, we need to abolish that.
Wow.
We need to make sure that the government upholds this, that they secure this, these rights. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You're not talking about we flipping nation just for whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
let's think about this, okay? Let's have some wisdom here. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Okay? But now hear this, Pat. This is, I mean, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. He's saying that is a right. When these people start encroaching, when a government starts to take over and start restricting rights, that's it.
Right.
We, you know, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. You know? And so what's happening is that they're getting together and they're saying, listen, we cannot handle this anymore. We don't want to take this anymore. And what they're saying is it's time. And you think about how much the colonies had suffered up to this point, Pat, and they lay it out. I mean, this is not something that was a flip decision or, oh, you know, tomorrow we're just going to, you know, declare, you know, our independence of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were people that suffered greatly. Okay, and listen to this. The history, he writes, the history, I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence, the history of the present king of Great Britain I'm going to read that again. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. A tyranny. And you know, Pat, you know, Proverbs says, which is, you know, so encouraging. Proverbs says that we need to take heed to this. We need to listen. You know, Proverbs 28 says that a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain. I'm going to repeat that again.
Right.
A ruler who oppresses the poor, okay, is like driving rain that leaves no crops.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about overthrowing a government. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what has occurred. We're talking about reviewing our history and understanding what has occurred, you know, so that we can appreciate our country. Mm-hmm. There's many Americans, many believers that love our country. But Pat, I'm telling you, if we don't get educated, if we don't know what's happening, if we don't know the travesties that were done before, guess what? We're going to be bound to repeat them.
That's right.
And the way things are going, I'm telling you, we just got to pay attention. So it says, like, a ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. I mean, you think about driving rain. Mm-hmm. Driving rain, I mean, you ever try to plant something? I mean, I'm not the planter, but, you know, I've seen crops, you know, I've seen gardens, you know. But you see little seedlings, you know, like, you know, green leafy things, all right? Don't laugh at me. But you see green, and they're growing. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden comes a hurricane wind of rain, you know, a driving rain, and rain that's supposed to be good, like rulership and leadership that's supposed to be good, that's supposed to have guidance, you know, saying, you know, it's good, but the water is literally coming down and it's driving. And you ever look at the dirt or the soil after a hard rain?
Oh yeah,
kind of has impressions, beat up and just tore up, and whatever that was growing there, whatever life was there, whatever little bit of hope was there, it shattered. It leaves no crops.
Right.
And so you're talking about the King of England at this time, a Great Britain. You're talking about his tyranny. And Pat, I believe there lays out about 27 things, 27 things in this Declaration of Independence that occurred. And we really have to think about it. I mean, and I'll just read some. It says, he has forbidden his governors. Well, this is what he says here. He says, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So it's like, I'm not just telling you how it is. I'm not just telling you that these rights come from God and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make our case. Right. We're going to speak with facts. Mm-hmm. And that's like good wisdom for anybody. You know, if you're saying something, you need to have a little bit of facts on what you're saying. So he's saying that the King of England, Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, the signers, the 56 signers, Pat, that signed this document, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Mm-hmm. It says here that he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. He forbade them unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. Mm-hmm. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature and a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. When you think about it, this king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists. What you're listening to right now is the Declaration of Independence. We're journeying back and we're listening to how this country was breaking free from Great Britain and how this new country is going to be birthed. I mean, this is so exciting. We're coming to the end of the first hour. We've been talking about the election. It's our responsibility to vote. Values matter. Get out and vote today. If you can't join us in the extra hour, don't forget that you can catch VFN Radio today on the 24-hour loop. We'll catch you in the extra hour.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Continue talking about the kingdom of God. He says when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells you us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's not you don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably gonna say right now.
Yeah.
Because he had, think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around Jerusalem. It's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. Yeah, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If they were going to, if you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about how, what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted bad. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their savior, and they say, which means I want him to be the Lord of my life. Then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king and they said, oh my goodness. And they say, I know. And they receive him. And then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart. And now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus. That he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope. And understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled. Right. You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org. And request it. Immediately it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church and that the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church,